It's time to treat yourself with Betway this Christmas. For new customers, bet £10 and get £40 in free bets. Download the Betway app today. 18 plus T's and C's apply. Bet the responsible way. Gambleaware.org.
So what happens when the first man you ever knew, your father, couldn't give you the safety, love, or emotional presence you needed? And how does that early wound quietly shape the way we love, commit, and connect as adults? Welcome back to The Advisor. Today, we're diving into one of the most powerful and most hidden influences on our adult relationships, our father relationship trauma. Author Willie Handler, author of Out from the Shadows, which is Willie's journey to uncover the truth about his parents' lives as Holocaust survivors, is joining us today to have this exact conversation. So this conversation is about awareness, healing, and breaking old emotional cycles. So thank you for being here. Please do not forget to like and subscribe. And a quick shout out to Dr. Bradley Nelson and iHeartRadio for your sponsorship. Willie, it's so good to see you again. I love these podcasts and I love the impact they have on our community. Thank you for being back.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. And I should sort of add to your intro that I've quite advanced now on my next book, which is on intergenerational trauma. And I interviewed 106 children and grandchildren of Holocaust survivors, and because they were all, their parents were all traumatized, that it's the easiest way to find trauma victims. And I saw a lot of strange, a lot of people reported very broken relationships with parents, and particularly fathers. And mothers react quite differently, but in particular fathers. So this is, I'm very keen to talk about this topic and dig in a little deeper.
So let me ask you this. How would you define father relationship trauma in a way that our audience can relate to?
Well, here are probably the good signs. When you were a child, your father never hugged you, never said they loved you, and seemed to feel very distant. That probably, and if you can relate to those things, I think there are issues you may need to work through, because that kind of behavior has a way of being passed down from one generation to another. And yeah. So I think those are the most obvious signs. There are others as well. But so many people said, I was never hugged as a child.
Yeah. And most, like, some fathers aren't around, you know, like I know, like, a lot of fathers were, especially back in the day, were the ones that were working a lot, the ones that were going out to make the money to bring home the bacon, per se. And it was like children being home with their mothers. And so what are the most common emotional patterns you see in adults who grew up with distant or unavailable or emotionally inconsistent fathers? Like, what are some of the things that happen because of that?
Well, I think that the most obvious ones is they themselves have difficulty making relationships. So they may have issues. They may have poor relationships with siblings. In particularly where you have a traumatized parents, there seems to be a trend where there's a good child and a rebellious child.
Okay.
Some of you may relate to one of those two. You were the rebellious one, Lisa.
Yes,
I can 100%. Already tell. I can already tell. But you'll have relationships, spousal relationships. Some of the people I that I interviewed, and it was quite obvious, had been through a few marriages. And those households can also feel kind of very depressing and I think probably depressing and unhappy. And as
Yeah.
such, they people, you know, children tend to leave the nest very quickly, and particularly women who seem to get it worse than men do. But you know, men are not immune. And so, and you'll have, you know, likely have the same kind of relationship with your children as you had with your father. And that's where it does not work out well. It's not going to have a good outcome for your children. And so the real reason that these things occur is because somewhere in the past, someone has, but quite possibly has lost someone very close. Doesn't have to be a family member either. You could be, you know, you could have had a grandfather who was involved in World War II, lost a lot of, you know, and was in some very fierce battles and lost comrades or whatever. They come back traumatized. And so what happens is they tend to not attach to people because they can't deal with the possible loss or abandonment. And I know that because I'm one of those people who does not attach to people very easily and does not re react very well when people leave from my life. I can I know specifically there's a person about a year ago kind of just ghosted me, and it did not go well for me. And
Right.
this is how, and it carries through your life. And but there are ways to overcome them. I know I've been working on it.
Yeah, well, I can say in my experience, and I mean, I know my father did the best he could with what he had and with his own trauma, and I'm not saying anything negative. But my father worked a lot, and we weren't super close growing up. And as I started developing, I started seeking relationships with men that were essentially like dating my father. And it was me trying to get validation from my father, from these men who were very similar to him. And it was a very toxic cycle. It was like never feeling good enough. Always feeling like I had to give more and more and more, and allowing myself to be treated poorly. And it was until I actually like started working on the generational trauma, like we talked about in the last episode, that my relationship with my father changed, and then my relationship with people in the community changed because suddenly I didn't wasn't getting seeking that validation anymore. Because when we're kids, like what our parents do for us is how we go out into the world. So if we're not, you know, being praised or loved or being shown affection, that's really going to affect the way that we socialize with other people.
And you don't know, there's so much you learn from your parents, or don't learn. That's part of the problem. And so if you don't have a sort of normalized bonding with your parents, then that carries you through your whole life. And so you don't know how to form healthy relationships. You know how to form an unhealthy one, but not necessarily a healthy one. And that's probably a very, that I find personally probably the most difficult hill to climb to get over this one. And so that's why it's a very, very appropriate topic. And most people will not even realize what they're doing, and certainly not realize that they carry around hidden trauma.
Can I ask you how father trauma affects men and women differently? Like what are the differences there?
I'm thinking about that because I had both, I spoke to both kinds of people of both genders. The women, the women had on, I think the women tend to move towards unhealthy relationships with men, just as you did, Lisa. Not surprised. I remember this one woman I interviewed, and she was also like you. She was the rebellious child, and her father was. He's actually still around, I guess. He's in his 90s, but he was not involved at all, and certainly not in, not in. He had two daughters, not interested in daughters. But the two daughters each had sons, and he had a very unnatural, I would say, an unnatural sort of attachment to the two grandsons because they were males. And it really worried her and her sister that they did not like the fact that he basically ignored them and but not their sons. It was very, very strange. But she left the home at a very young age, became a biker chick, drugs, the whole deal. And so that's kind of what happens to women. Men, they just become their dads because like the male relationship is very different than daughter. The son is treated as the legacy carrier, which is explains why the man with the two daughters and two grandsons, he's only interested in legacy. And so that's what happens is that the father thinks they're bonding with their sons, but not in an appropriate way. And I think that really that messes up men a lot. And they carry this around. And I guess what makes it worse
You know,
is
I'm going
men.
to interrupt you, but I apologize. I want to also add that I feel like men try to Yeah, exactly. They want to lead their father's legacy, and so they tend to overperform. They tend to overperform and work really, really, really hard because they're trying to prove something, and they want their father's validation and for their father to say, "I'm proud of you."
Exactly. That's all they ever want in life is, and I've been there. I'm still there. My father's not around, and I'm still trying to get some positive reinforcement from him. But yes, so what happens is what makes it worse is men don't talk about it, right? They hold it all in, and so their spouse going, "What's bothering you?" Nothing, right? Nothing. Nothing's ever bothering them, and I'm just tired. I'm stressed, but and they won't open up. And what happens is that increases probably the increases the likelihood of passing on that trauma as well.
So, do you think a lot of people are walking around with father wounds that they haven't acknowledged and they don't even realize is steering the ship in their relationships, per se?
Oh, absolutely. Trauma is it's endemic in our society. There's so many ways that you can get traumatized. Not yourself, but it doesn't even have to be yourself. It can be a parent or a grandparent. They can have been involved in combat. They were refugees. They had drunk and abusive parents, sexual assaults, car accidents, like you name it. And I would say somewhere between 60 to 75% of the population will have a traumatic event and survive. And most of them recover. But 3 to 5% end up with PTSD. And across the, across Canada or United States or where, or globally, that can add up to a lot of people. And so those people with PTSD, if they're not properly treated, and maybe a good, maybe even more than half of them are men, I don't know, they will just pass it on, and also live, not live their best lives, right? So somebody who can't commit to relationships, they may have a, they may have a, they may do fine in the work setting, but their personal lives will be horrible, and they won't understand why. But they'll blame the other person, and not see their own personal flaws. That's how I. That's how I see it. When I had difficulty, bonding with people and developing relationships. I'm getting better at it, but it was always, I'd always find a reason not to like someone.
Oh my gosh.
See?
For me, it was like if someone was super loving and was super giving and wanted to show me love, I was like, oh my God, that's too much. Go away. And it was like
That
I
could
blocked
be
myself from
too.
receiving love. It's like if someone got too close, then it would like scare me and I would push them away. And I think a lot of people do that.
I'm shocked my marriage lasted 44 years. Oh, it's still, oh, I'm sorry, I said lasted. It's still going, it's still ongoing. The last I checked.
Don't let your wife see this episode.
I think she's getting sick of all the episodes. No.
But I
So,
want to, Lily, I want to hear about your own personal story. So you
right.
are the child of some of Holocaust survivors.
Right.
And so how did your father's experiences shape your story? Like, tell me about his experience and how that bled into your life and how you say you're still managing his own trauma.
How long do we have? I that's right. Both my parents were Holocaust survivors. They had very different experiences, both very traumatic nonetheless, because they were treated like vermin. Maybe that's the best way. In other words, something to exterminate. But they survived their experience. My father was in seven concentration camps,
Oh my God.
and you survive that by a little bit by losing your humanity.
Yeah, you have to detach.
You have to detach from people. You are witnessing degradation and death every day. And so you come out of that, you're not, you're never going to function the way you would have, prior to the experience. And so my parents, and they met after the war, they got married, they eventually came to Canada, and they were focused on basic needs, food, housing, and shelter. Oh, food, health, oh, and clothing. Right. I knew there were three. My mother made a lot of my clothes. Anyways, it was kind of, it was an immigrant experience, but with a lot of trauma. And so my parents were kind of loving but distant, and not involved in my life. So that meant that I no one to help me with my homework, no one. If I wanted to play sports, I had to drag my ass out of the house and go wherever I was going alone, not with a parent. And issues at school, I dealt with them myself. And you become independent far too young, and you're in like in survival mode. And so here's the thing, is I grew up not ever getting any help, not ever asking for help. I still have problems asking for help today. And so my father worked long, long hours at a time. There was times where he was working 7 days a week, and so you never saw him. And when you did see him, he was tired and grumpy, and so, like, what kind of a relationship do you have then? And
Well,
so
let me
that's
ask you
how I
this.
grow up. Yeah.
Did understanding your father more deeply, like through this whole experience of writing your books, like as you started beginning to understand his life more, did that help you understand yourself in new ways?
Yes. Definitely. There was a time where for much of my life, I was very frustrated. I wasn't angry at him, though there were times I was angry at him too, but for good reason. But I was frustrated with him. He was embarrassing at times, and I hate admitting this, but when he passed away in 2008, I felt relieved because he was so difficult to live with. And now I look back and I'm going, well, that was the experience of somebody young looking, and I realize now his ability to survive, his resilience, and to make something of his life was heroic. And knowing he wasn't a great dad, but he did his best with what he had and didn't have much to work with. So I've come to terms with it, and now you come to terms with it, now you deal with yourself.
Well, I was gonna just say, what does healing look like now? Like, how did you start the healing process once you realized that it wasn't your fault? How do you go about starting the healing process?
Well, it's very difficult to do on your own, and you need some guidance. And so several years ago, I began seeing a therapist. I'm still seeing that therapist because I actually developed an attachment, which is an accomplishment in itself. A skilled therapist will guide you through the healing process. They don't heal you. You heal yourself. But to me, the therapist is your guide, and makes you talk about things that are uncomfortable to talk about. That's a great start right there. Makes you come to and you know if I tend to overprocess things anyway, so therapy worked well. So you start to understand why you behave you the way you do, why you have certain emotions or don't have certain emotions, where how that's connected to your past. And my therapist will ask me directly, why do you feel this way? What happened to you when you were younger? When did you first feel this way? And things like that. And so it helps you dig out what is wrong with you. And once you understand that, you can start doing things in a more positive way. And so I don't think there's a shortcut. And I seriously thought, I knew nothing about therapy. I seriously thought when I started with my therapist, this was going to be like a 3-4 month thing.
Oh my gosh, I had that idea as well when I started therapy. Oh, just have to
That's a
see them one or
joke.
two times. It's like, no, it's a lifetime commitment.
Oh, so that's a joke. Why? Well, because that healing process is ongoing, and some people are able, you know, I don't think it's appropriate to tell people they're going to be in therapy for life. That's
No.
their choice. That you know, maybe a professional can help you on the road to healing, and you can finish it on your own, possibly, or if it feel that it would work better for you to continue with a therapist, you should do so. But you need more than a therapist. You need a support system around you, family and friends, who you can open up to as well, not just to the therapist.
Yeah.
And so once you start talking about these kind of things, at first it's really hard, but at a certain stage it becomes liberating.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
that's when you know you're healing, that
And
it's
it's
you're
also really
actually.
liberating when you start sharing your story. Like, you can totally relate to this. I 100, if you can't relate to this, I will give you $1 million. But as soon as you start telling your story, talking to other people about their story, and knowing that you're not alone and that other people went through the exact same thing, that
Right.
in itself is therapy.
Like when I talked about, you know, in families, there's the good child and the rebellious ones, and you immediately said, "That's me."
Yeah.
And that's exactly it. That when you'd be surprised how many people are walking around like you.
Yeah.
And one of the things I can tell you is that, you know, I've been in the last year or so, I've been very open on social media about my experiences, and you know, I'll post stuff about some of the findings in the research I'm doing for the next book. And so many people are reaching out to me. Why? Because they relate.
Yeah.
And you know, and suddenly everybody wants to be my best friend.
Yeah.
I'm still struggling with abandonment and attachment issues.
And you know what else is true is that there's also a lot of people that aren't responding, that aren't reaching out, but they're watching.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we get frustrated because we think we're screaming into the void, but then you get the one person who reaches out and said, "You know what? Reading your stuff made me feel better today. It helps me get out of bed."
Yeah.
And that's what keeps you doing it. And so sharing your story is helping so many people, more than you could ever know. Being on this podcast, you're reaching, over 1 million people just by speaking your story. So how do we honor our father's struggles while still healing the parts that are affected by them? Because I know for me, it was hard to, I said I forgave, but I didn't. It took a long time to actually forgive. Like, I wanted to, but it was still in my body and I could still feel that I didn't mean it. And then when I finally was able to, that's when I stopped dating the same guy over and over again. That's when I started finding, men who treated me better. So how do we honor them but still heal and move forward?
I don't think it's a conscious thing. I think it's just part of that healing process, that as you start to understand what you've been through and why you are the way you are and why your father was the way he was, that you don't need to forgive. Just understanding brings you to a level where that anger will start to dissipate. And I think that's really all you want to achieve. It's not so much forgiving, it's losing that anger you had. Because I'm sure anger is part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what about for the parents out there who are listening to this and they're like, "Oh no, I don't want to pass on my trauma to my children." What would you say to them?
And of course, that will be a future issue that I want to talk about in more detail. But I would definitely the way to break the cycle is you have to first heal yourself. And so without healing, and we're gonna and you know not to get very technical, but trauma and even memory can be bare it can be attached to your DNA. And
So
that
we're basically
there
born with it, and nothing, like
right.
nobody
So
does
that's
anything. You
correct.
already come into this world with a, I want to say, a disadvantage in a sense.
Yeah, and that's part of it as well, is that you know and without even having been exposed to a unloving father, but you may have genetically already been passed on some of these issues. So the way to, and if you're younger, I already pass it on before I realized what a mess I was. But you know, if there are men out there like under 40 and still in the have yet to raise families or in the early stages of raising family, is if you can start that healing process, you're going to go a long way to breaking the cycle. And part of it is when you begin to open up and talk more, you're going to be communicating more with your children. That's inevitable. And you're going to be exposing them to more emotions than just anger and frustration. And you're going to probably show them more love. And guess what? And they will feel comfortable enough to open up to you. And guess what? That's the protection they need from the trauma that they've been inheriting.
So let me ask you this. When someone starts healing, when you started healing and really diving into the trauma, what was that experience like?
It was a roller coaster.
Yeah. I just
It
want
like
to
it,
reiterate, I just
that's
want
the
the
that's
audience
the
to know that it's not a fun process, but it's
it's not
so worth it.
it's not linear either. So I can run through the whole I can run through the whole gamut, which is when I start off with therapy, I after a few after several weeks, I started getting frustrated. What? This isn't doing anything. And then I remember my therapist said one day said, "You know, you talk about all kinds of stuff, people around you. You don't talk about yourself." And so, oh, okay. And so we went through several weeks where I started talking about myself, and it was not comfortable. And then one session, I just totally broke down. And then I thought I was cured. Right.
I'm only laughing because that's only the beginning of the journey. Yes.
I actually wanted to quit,
You
and
know
I
what,
did
Willie?
quit.
I will say this. Do you know how common it is for a lot of men to not have the ability to cry? And the fact that you were able to crack that open and begin your healing process at such a deep level is a huge accomplishment. I am working with several men in my energy practice who have not cried for their entire lives. Like they have not cried, and they can't. And they want to so bad because they can feel all of that trauma trapped in their chest cavity. And that's what a lot of people struggle with. You know, tight body aches and muscles and the inability to love because their heart space is so closed off. So I'm sure once you opened that box, it just poured out.
No, there's no question. And I did not have a very good association with crying because if any of us raised the Holocaust with my father, he would respond and eventually break down crying. Not a pretty sight to watch your father crying. Not the way he was crying. And so it was not what I consider anything very positive. And so that's kind of where I was coming from. And so I tried to quit two or three times therapy because either I remember one time I was angry at my therapist because I told her she was making me worse because I felt worse. Because
That's the truth.
initially you feel worse before you feel better. And so, and then there were sessions where I would feel great after, and it was wonderful. And then, I don't know, 5 days later, I would crash. Something would trigger me or whatever. And so I was on this huge roller coaster where highs and lows. And I remember talking to my therapist about it, and what she explained was that you've buried your emotions for decades, and you're a very rational person, and so your logical, irrational side has been making all your decisions. You've just let loose all those emotions that you've buried for years, and she says your emotional side and your logical side are battling right now, and that's the ups and downs, which sounds plausible because. And over time, I've developed a much better balance. The highs and lows are not what they were, and it's starting to flatten out. And so it's a long process. But yeah, and you learn things. You learn how to avoid triggers or how to manage them. I had to learn how to manage emotions because I had no clue. Because and so it's like here I am. I'm learning all kinds of new things about myself, and it's about yourself. And it's co so weird. You've lived your whole life, and you didn't really know yourself that well, or you thought you did, but there were things about yourself that you didn't know.
Or when you work with a therapist, they point out things about yourself that you would never see in yourself. It's like getting feedback from someone who sees you from the outside, because sometimes it's really hard to see ourselves from an outside perspective, and we need other people to highlight things that we need to work on. So, going through that process, I know for myself was incredibly challenging. And you're right. You start talking about these issues and these things that trigger you, and they come to the surface, and it almost feels like you get sick. It's like suddenly you feel nauseous and you're exhausted and you're irritable, but then they start processing and then they lift and then you feel lighter. So the process is like exactly what you said. My experience anyway was that roller coaster ride of facing something. You know what I think of it as? It's like going to battle. It's like suddenly you see the trauma in front of you, you put your gloves on to fight it, and then you fight it, and during the fight you don't feel very good, but then when you beat the crap out of it and it goes away, you start to feel better. But each trauma is like another quest in itself, but it's a quest towards freedom. It's like a video game of like getting to freedom through fighting all of these different battles that could have many different faces. They could look like many different monsters depending on the depth of it. And coming from a man who, was born to two parents who've been through so much, like in the Holocaust, I can only imagine how difficult that would have been. But there's so many people like you out there that need to be hearing this, because a lot of people don't have hope, and it's really nice that you have that hope inside of you. I can feel it in your heart that you truly want to see people thrive and get better.
Well, to be honest, while I was going through the process of writing my memoir and jumping to the next book immediately, which was nuts in itself, where I still hadn't finished unpacking my own trauma, and I was letting other people unpack their trauma to me. Not a great idea. I have to admit to that, and I've reevaluated my relationships, and I actually ditched friends. I said, going, these people, I chose a new direction for my life, and I'm involved in several things I've never been involved in before, and one of them is trying to reach out and helping other people, which is, I guess, why I'm here. And see,
Yeah.
it's either that or sell my memoir or my other books. I'm not sure, but there's actually easier ways of doing it. But no, but seriously, I'm doing these kind of things because I learned a lot over the last couple of years, and I want to pass that on to other people. And so, for those who are struggling with relationships, struggling with anxiety, think, it's time to figure out how to bring more positivity in your life. And especially if you're feeling negative about things. And look around this world. Most people will tell you it's horrible. Living wherever you're living right now, it's not so good. And so you can't change your world, the world around you, but you can change what's and there. And so it's time to take control over things that you can control and not worry about the rest. And so emotional stability, stronger relationships, feeling better. They're all things that you can achieve.
So, Willie, tell us where people can find your book and more information about your memoir and all of the things.
So, the answer to your question, my book, easy to find. It's on Amazon. Again, it's Out of the Shadow. If you find other books by me, those are fiction books. They're novels, but if you want to laugh, they're good too. But my memoir talks a lot of, there's a lot about trauma in the book, a lot. But that's not the only writing that's available. Now I'm active on social media, but the best place to go is Substack. And look for Willie Handler there. And the reason I say that is like two, three times a week, I'm posting stuff about trauma, about different topics, some of it about hate. And just writing as well. There's all kinds of things. So it's pretty broad. And it's sort of, and also I have a newsletter there which will keep you up to date on my other work. So I know a lot of people are waiting for my next book, which is called The Hidden Victims, because we are all children, many of us at least, are children of people who were traumatized. People who have been traumatized, people recognize that they have trauma, but many, many people don't realize that it's passed on. And that's why the book's called The Hidden Victims. And there are many of us. And so you can find, I have a newsletter there, will keep you informed of what's happening with all my writing. Also, I do all kinds of talks on various topics. Including Holocaust education and trauma and particularly intergenerational trauma. So there's information about where to find those as well. And of course, I'll be promoting the series there.
Beautiful. Well, thanks so much for being here today and for sharing more of your story. It doesn't It doesn't get lost on me. Like I can truly feel how hard it was for you to open Pandora's box, and I think that is really commendable. So, thank you so much for your work and writing and for having the courage to come forward about this stuff. Is there any last minute things you'd like to leave the audience with today?
Yeah, there is. I was thinking as we were talking, is that maybe even just 2 years ago, I could not have come out here and talked about this stuff, or I would have been very uncomfortable. And right now, I'm comfortable talking about this stuff. So that in itself is proof that the healing process works. Because how many guys out there could come out and talk about their childhood and all the things that weren't good in their lives? It's not an easy thing to do. So,
No.
if you go out there and heal yourself, you can end up on this show with Lisa. And Lisa's great to hang out with.
Thanks again for being here. It's been so much fun.
Thank you.
And to our audience, if you're struggling or going through anything that is causing you any type of pain, please don't do it alone. Reach out to somebody, get help, speak about it. I can guarantee you that someone else is going through the same thing. You're not alone. Until next time, take care, everybody.